This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Time to delve back into Suffolk County. And a part of another spotlight segment on Long Island, and that's where we talk with the GOP minority leader of the Suffolk County Legislature and resides over the 10th district. Good guy. I haven't spoken to him in a while. His name is Tom Silmy, and nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a Thursday. Mr. Legislator, how are you, sir?
Jay, I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
Great. It's interesting. The U.S. Census Bureau, Tom, released some numbers today where Nassau has increased slightly. Suffolk's decreased since, last year, mid-last year. And I'm wondering if it's just a byproduct of people either saying, you know what, I've had enough, I got to go to greener pastures. You know, if they look at the road ahead, the picture has not been painted in a positive way, to say the least. And I kind of equated it to, you know, I heard your response to the county executive's address last night. And, you know, you did it in a professional sense, but it wasn't the greatest of pictures that were painted by you, I think.
Well, it's frightening when County Executive Ballone's plan for keeping young people here on Long Island in Suffolk County is to create a 311 system and provide bus service from Stony Brook University to Patchogue. The fact of the matter is this administration is completely disconnected from reality. We're out in campaign mode right now, and we will be through November this year. And as I knock on doors throughout my community, and I know my colleagues on both sides of the aisle have shared same experience in their communities, people are really frustrated with their quality of life here in Suffolk County. The roads are terrible. The appearance of our communities is terrible. You have community groups that are getting together, volunteers that are getting together and spending money and spending their time doing all the things that, quite frankly, government should be doing but can't afford to do because we're too busy doing other things. And so it's no wonder that we saw that headline this morning that Suffolk is losing population. You're exactly right. People are leaving our county for greener pastures.
Yeah, just a thought that came over to me when I read the numbers. Listen, you lose 2,500 people, compare it to the overall number of the county, 1.5 mil or whatever. But still, you kind of get a sense that, I guess the overall question, I say this all the time, Tom, is, and you kind of stated it somewhat, but are people more in tune right now with what's going on? Are they paying attention? We do shows on LI News Radio, and, we get information out there. I get everybody on. I get Republicans, I get Democrats, I get independent. It doesn't matter to me. I just want the information out there. But are people more in tune with their surroundings right now, at least from an economic standpoint? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think they are, because it's finally getting to the breaking point. People are realizing that literally their families are being separated as a result of the cost of living here in Suffolk County, and as a result of the poor quality of life here in Suffolk County. And that's not a good thing economically. It's not a good thing for our society. When mom or dad has to leave Suffolk County to go live somewhere else because on a fixed income they can't afford to live here, leaving their child here in a rental apartment to have other children, and then who takes care of the grandchildren when they're born? Not the grandparents any longer because they're living somewhere else. Or conversely, when the young person goes to college to some other state and then stays in that other state, because there's no opportunity here, they don't like it here, it's too expensive here. Who is there, or who is here, rather, to take care of the parents as we get older? So There are very, very profound societal impacts to these problems that we're facing.
It seems that way. Tom Silmi with us. The GOP minority leader had a response to the county exec last night in the State of the County. You know, I think the overall thing I hear is, and I know a lot of people who have fled. I got to tell you, to be honest with you, you know, once kids were finished with school, that was it. I mean, I go back a long time with some of the acquaintances that I have garnered over the years. And I always remember one guy in particular, a good friend of mine, and he said, Jay, I'm out of here. As soon as the kid, and this is going way back, okay? This is before, you know, the whole Ballone administration took into play. But, you know, they kind of had a sense that they had it, you know, that there are greener pastures elsewhere. And I think the overall thing that I get even presently, Tom Silmi, is really cost of living. I think people are having a tough time, you know, with taxes and everything else that are coming into play. It's just unaffordable. You don't have that way of living anymore that we all had, where the paycheck would go a longer period of time. Now it seems, and it's tough, you know, when you live paycheck to paycheck and everything else arises, your wages isn't arising. I think that's the biggest thing. The cost of living has become unbearable for a lot of folks, at least I know.
And, you know, the word unbearable is a great word because it really applies in this case. Yes, the cost of living is very high here in Suffolk County. And the fact that the Ballone administration has tacked on more than $100 million of new and increased fees in the budget is certainly adding to that pain. But people by and large will tell me, look, we'll pay the taxes, but we expect services for those taxes. And the services they expect are not unusual. They're not, you know, crazy. They expect their streets to be clean. They expect the grass on the side of the road not to be overgrown or the brush to be overgrown. They expect potholes to be taken care of, roads to be paved. It's simple things that improve people's quality of life. And when people are paying the extraordinarily high taxes that we pay here in Suffolk County, and you add to that the $100 million of fees, and you drive down the road and you're just not happy living here because of what you see, it's people get to that breaking point where it's unbearable. They're like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going somewhere else. I've been paying these taxes. I'm clearly not satisfied with what our county government is doing with that money. And so we're just going to go somewhere else. And you know what? They're finding green. Here's the thing. There's that saying about greener pastures. You know, you go there and they're not always greener. But people are actually finding greener pastures in other places. And it does not bode well for our future. And it's so shocking to see out of a speech that was in excess of an hour and 10 minutes last night, the big headline in Newsday is that the county executive is planned a new 311 system in Suffolk County. Like, that's really what's going to make the difference. It's almost unbelievable. It's like I sat there last night and Kevin McCaffrey and I were sitting next to one another and we kept looking. When the county executive talked about how he's fixing the budget, which is a total farce, total lie, and then started talking about the 311 system, we both looked at each other like, where are we? It's truly unbelievable. Listen, this year's an election year for all of us on the county legislature. As you know, we have a Democrat majority, and we've had for the last decade or so, 11 Democrats, 7 Republicans. It's really time that the voters, instead of paying attention to, you know, the Mueller report and, you know, who's suing who in Washington, people really ought to start paying attention to what's going on in their own backyards, because it's not pretty.
No, and I implore people to do that every electoral season. No Know your neck of the woods. You know your council people. Know your legislators. You know your supervisor. You know, you got to pay attention. I mean, listen, there's no excuse anymore. There just isn't. This is the biggest thing that I accentuate all the time, Tom Silmi. People have to pay attention here. You know, the one thing in all of this, you know, I look at the casino in Islandia. You know, I look at Jake's 58. And I keep reading of the enormous proceeds that are going through there in a very positive way. What about, I always wondered about this, because I always remember when it first came about and everything else, there was a delay here and there, but it's going to do such great things. What are we looking at with Jake's? Do we get to reap the benefits of Jake's 58 these days or no?
Currently, the county gets something like $2 million a year from Jake's, and that was part of the agreement that was made during the bankruptcy proceedings of OTB. But as soon as OTB is out of that bankruptcy, the millions of dollars that are being generated there at the casino, some of that, more of that than the $2 million that we're receiving now, will come to Suffolk County. And certainly that'll help. But that's if the Democrats and the county executive are still in place, and if they're still in place, they're going to spend the money on other programs. They've already spent the $2 million that we're receiving, by the way, as I said in my rebuttal last night, on public financing of campaigns. So the casino is barely off of its feet. It's barely generating revenue, and it's really starting to heat up. No sooner do we start to see some cash flow from the casino than the Democrats and the county executive come up with this plan to fund campaigns in Suffolk County, to take millions of dollars, create a whole new bureaucracy within county government, executive directors, accountants, lawyers. And the role of this new bureaucracy is going to be to oversee the public financing of campaigns. So rather than take the millions of dollars that we're receiving now and that ultimately we'll be receiving when OTB gets out of bankruptcy, rather than take that money and use it to reduce taxes, to improve road maintenance, to pay down our debt, we're going to use it to pay politicians who want to run for office. It's absurd.
It really is. Tom Silmi with us. A couple of minutes remain. The minority leader, of course, GOP, Suffolk Legislature, 10th District. You know, there was something in the paper the other day that caught my eye. I mean, how could it not when you look at some of the salaries? And, you know, I don't besmirch anyone for getting the best deal you can get. I love our police force. I think it's one of the best. They put their lives on the line on a daily basis for us. I don't love some of the stuff I read regarding overtime. I gotta be honest with you. I look at pensions. I look at the overall fiscal state. I look at the contracts. You know, it really, to me, Tom, it emulates from the contracts originally put forth. And it frightens me somewhat, because knowing the fiscal situation the county is in, and I look at some of these salaries and overtime, and it's off the charts. I to be honest with you, I don't know how the county can function from a fiscal point from what I saw out of those. I mean, that's a scary thing. If you look at the salaries, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, look, our police officers, especially those who have been in the department for a while, get paid well. But you know what? I've always said this, Jay. When somebody straps a gun to their belt and goes out, and granted, we, you know, every day is not, you know, a high crime day here in Suffolk County, but the risks associated with that work are there. And if you're going to strap on a gun and you're going to, you know, serve and protect the way our police officers serve and protect, I am fully supportive of paying those police officers well. The problem, and you sort of alluded to it, is the mismanagement that leads to extraordinarily high payouts at the end. I was one that supported the contract, the contract that actually has now expired with the police officers, because we extended the length of time to top pay from 5 years, I think, to 12 years, and we created a situation where new employees were paying into their health insurance, which had never been done before. And I think those were positive steps. Those were steps in the right direction. It's going to take some time. Listen, I thought we'd be there by now, honestly. When the county executive proposed the last contract, I heard that it was that things were going to turn around a lot quicker than what they have. But as our long-term officers continue to retire, they get these tremendous SCAT payouts, which raises the salary and makes people's eyes, you know, jump out of their heads. But then we're filling those positions with less expensive positions ultimately. And to their credit, the PBA has come to the county and at least come to me. We in the legislature don't negotiate contracts. Just the county executive can negotiate contracts. But I've been told that they have put on the table a variety of different things that would actually save the county money. It's getting to the point where they negotiate something with the county executive that, you know, that we're not at yet. But look, we'll look at the contract, the new contract, when it comes to us, if it comes to us, and we'll make decisions from there, and we'll base those decisions on the financial realities of today.
And the financial realities are, you know, I had Marty Cantor on a couple of days ago, Tom. So, man, you know, who's better than Marty kind of deciphering the economics of it all? And I'm talking about, you know, the announcement of some legislation to establish this charitable gift reserve fund in the state, which I find kind of comical because, you know, this was tried to put forth last year and deemed illegal, of course, by the IRS. It's not legal. It's up to your local government, as we stated, or your school district to set up a fund to receive these charitable type contributions. So the local government or the school district really under no requirement to set one up. It's completely voluntary for them to do so. The one thing here that should be known is that a lot of people who contacted us after we had on Mr. Cantor, and we just told them that this type of stuff is not allowed. So let's not get too giddy regarding, you know, and I'm talking about offsetting the salt stuff in the 10,000, obviously, which has put many in disarray somewhat. But the charitable contribution or the charitable gift reserve fund, I tell people to be careful because it is not allowable by the IRS. When you look at the big picture of it all, Tom, people have to watch out for this stuff.
You know, the county executive mentioned this idea last night during his State of the County address. And during that part of the discussion, he said, you know, this should not be a partisan issue. Well, that's such a disingenuous comment. It's absolutely a partisan issue. He's making it a partisan issue. And the only reason, in fact, that he's proposing this is because this is an election year for him. The fact is that this is a half-baked idea. As you said, the IRS has already issued an advisory opinion that this is not going to be accepted. The governor tried to do it. The Democrat presiding officer of the county legislature in Suffolk County created a committee some time ago to look at the possibility of doing this, and they abandoned it because they determined that it wasn't feasible. But now in an election year, the county executive is putting it out there. And listen, I'm all for my colleagues on the Republican side, and my colleagues on the Democrat side certainly are all for finding ways to new ways to save. If this is a way that we can save taxpayers money, we would do it. Of course, the Democrats all went for this idea because they support the county executive, despite the fact that the president of the Tax Receivers Association in Suffolk County came to the legislature and said, not only is this not legal, not only is it not workable with the Suffolk County Tax Act, which governs the way we collect taxes in Suffolk County, but it's a boondoggle for our receivers' offices. We're going to have to create new systems. We're going to, the county executive thinks all the receivers of taxes do is just take in a check and mail it to the county, apparently. But that's not all they do. There are complex systems in place at each of our tax receivers' offices to manage the intake and the outflow of tax revenue. Now you're asking them to throw a whole nother monkey wrench into the system that they're just not prepared for. It's going to cost them money, which means that it's ultimately going to cost the taxpayers money. This is a half-baked idea. They never spoke to the towns of Brookhaven or Islip or most of the other towns in Suffolk County before they proposed this idea. And before they passed it, listen, this is not just an idea at this point. This came to the county legislature and was approved by the county legislature with those of us who are Republicans abstaining from the vote. So now they say they're going to try and put this in place by 2020. The reality of it, Jay, is that it's not going to work. It's not going to be in place. This is a ruse on the taxpayers of Suffolk County. What's going to happen if taxpayers actually do take advantage of this, and then the federal government says, whoa, 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 wait a minute, this is not allowed? Are we going to start then issuing refunds to the taxpayers in Suffolk County? This is a completely ridiculous idea. They've put the cart before the horse once again. They've ignored process once again, mismanagement, and they're governing by press release. And that's not the right way to govern.
Before we let you go, I'm eating by the clock here. I got to ask you this. You know, and you brought it up, and it just, I think of bipartisanship. You're not getting it anywhere. You're not getting it in Washington. You know, you look at comments by a congresswoman out in Minnesota, awful comments in the last couple of weeks. No denouncement of any kind as far as her own party is concerned. I look at the state. You know, I look at the $27 million given to illegal immigrants who are here as far as college tuition is concerned. I look at Gold Star families who have been slighted. And now even onto the local stage, you know, it just seems like the divide. It seems like Yankees, Red Sox. I hate to correlate it that way, but it just seems to me it goes beyond as far as party affiliation is concerned. I kind of get a sense, and listen, I'm not there, you are, but I get a sense that it's ugly as far as decision-making is concerned. And when you have that into the mix, I ask myself, how could anything get accomplished the right way? We elect officials to do the job for us, yet I don't see that. I see it on the national stage. I don't see that. I don't see it in Albany, and I certainly don't see it here in Suffolk County. Is that a fair assessment on my end?
It is. Listen, I am, those who know me know I am not a confrontational guy. I'm not a guy that likes this sort of discourse. I'm not a guy that likes to criticize people. And I would like nothing more than to work together with my colleagues. But the fact is that when somebody's got to tell the truth here, somebody's got to speak for the people of this county. And when you listen to the county executive talk about how he's fixed the budget, when you hear the sheer ignorance and you understand that there's a cliff right in front of us, you get frustrated. And so somebody's got to be that voice. I suppose I'm the minority leader of the legislature. You know, I am that voice at this point for for our taxpayers, because the other side, frankly, just doesn't get it. For all the county executive likes to talk about bipartisanship, likes to talk about working together. We Republicans support many Democrat bills. We do work on a bipartisan level, and that's not just me saying that. Look at the history. Anybody who looks at the history, we just passed a number of bills designed to reduce plastics in our environment. They were sponsored by Legislator Kara Hahn. She's the majority leader. Republicans supported those bills. And many other bills sponsored by the Democrats. But when it comes to Republican ideas to save money or to reform government, they never get out of committee. It's completely partisan. In fact, just recently, during the budget process, the county executive and the Democrat majority punished not-for-profit agencies that provide valuable cultural arts programs in our county because they were supported by Republicans and because Republicans voted against the budget. So they said, well, if Republicans voted against the budget, then shouldn't your agencies be cut? So they cut Republican-supported not-for-profit agencies, people who volunteer their time, by up to 30%. And they said, well, we said, isn't that being partisan? And they said, no, that's being fair. Since Republicans voted against the budget, Republican not-for-profit agencies get cut. And they said, that's fair? No, that's partisan. That's partisan politics at its absolute worst. And we're not going to sit around on the Republican side and say, thank you very much, can we have another? We're going to fight back. And so you're right. The discourse, the divide has gotten greater. Much of the stuff we do in government, we do in a bipartisan way. But there are some times that we have to fight back, and that's what we're doing now.
Tom, always appreciate it. Hit the clock here. We'll talk down the road. Hopefully something occurs where we get better here. We'll see. But can't thank you enough for a couple here.
Jay, my pleasure. Have a great day. And happy Easter. Happy Passover.